Hi, I'm Maggie McGrath, the editor of Forbes Women, and today we are talking to Representative Anna Escamani, a representative in the Florida State House of Representatives. Anna, thank you so much for joining us. It has been a busy week in Florida. We heard from the Supreme Court earlier this week, the Florida Supreme Court, on two really substantial rulings on abortion access in the state. The first one basically, I'll ask you to explain, but my understanding of what happened here is that the Florida Supreme Court ruled that the state constitution does not protect access to abortion and effectively allows a very restrictive 6-week ban to go in place in a mere matter of weeks. What exactly are Floridians facing right now?
Well, thanks again for having me, and that is correct. So this 6-week abortion ban is now in place. It will be in effect in less than 30 days and actually was passed during the 2023 legislative session. The litigation was focused on a 2022 law that implemented the 15-week abortion ban. But when legislators passed the 6-week ban, there was trigger language outlined in the bill saying that as soon as the Florida Supreme Court rules on the 15-week ban, the 6-week would go into effect. And unfortunately, as you also noted, this totally erases the protection that we've had as Floridians in our state constitution under the right to privacy provision, which Florida voters approved back in the 80s. If you read that opinion, it also outlines elements of personhood. So it definitely sets the stage for the Supreme Court in the future to try to revisit this conservative debate over the beginning of life.
So a 15-week ban had been in place, but effectively this ruling triggered the 6-week ban. And my understanding, you tweeted something about a waiting period. So not only is there a 6-week ban, women have to go through 2 appointments in order to procure an abortion. Is that correct?
Correct. And that's actually been law in Florida since 2015. So the 24-hour mandatory delay law was put into effect under Governor, now Senator Rick Scott. It was litigated for about 7 years. And so that lawsuit came to an end in 2022. And that is when we saw 24-hour delay go into effect, meaning, as you noted, that if you were seeking access to an abortion, you have to go into a clinic, meet with a doctor, and then leave and come back 24 hours later, which obviously creates so many different barriers for women, especially those of low income, maybe don't have reliable transportation, maybe have to take more time off work. And the 6-week ban doesn't change any of that. It keeps all of those restrictions in place. So Florida truly has one of the cruelest and most extreme abortion bans in the country. And it's not just impacting Floridians. We have been seeing patients from across the Southeast, as far as Texas, come to our state for care. And all of that is going to completely shift once this 6-week ban goes into effect.
I was going to ask, I know you're a Florida state representative, but let's just zoom out a little bit. What does this mean nationally or even just regionally for women?
It's devastating. It is absolutely devastating. You know, we already see under the current 15-week ban, doctors have to allow patients to become more sick before providing them with life-saving treatment through abortion. And then for those who are choosing to end a pregnancy, they often have to travel to other states. Under the 15-week ban, you know, most folks by 15 weeks will know they're pregnant, but in cases of fetal abnormalities and diagnosis, 15 weeks is too early to know. And so when you change that metric to 6 weeks, it makes a bad situation worse. Nobody knows they're pregnant at 6 weeks. And when you attach the 24-hour delay law, it makes it very unlikely that you're going to be able to actually end your pregnancy in Florida. So your closest option, if it's before 15 weeks, maybe North Carolina, if it's after, Virginia. And so it's just going to get bad. And of course, we're meeting with our healthcare providers, our abortion funds, preparing for this urgent crisis to help our health centers become patient navigators and helping women and families figure out what their options are.
So those care centers effectively become travel agents.
Exactly. And I also want to, of course, note the fact that abortion bans impact every single person, but those who are going to face the most obstacles will be working class women, communities of color, folks who are already having to navigate so many barriers to care. And you are going to see forced pregnancy. You are going to see those in this situation potentially turn to options of harm, hurting themselves to access an abortion. So the situation really is dire, and it makes the ballot initiative that we have even more urgent.
Which brings me to the second ruling that we got from the Florida Supreme Court this week. It effectively allows voters in November to decide if they want a constitutional amendment protecting the right to abortion. Can you talk about what this ballot initiative is?
I would love to. So this is under the Organization of Floridians Protecting Freedom, which was a ballot initiative that was launched in May of last year. Within that six-month time frame, the campaign, with the support of grassroots volunteers, myself included, helped to collect more than 1 million verified signatures to reach the threshold to be on the 2024 ballot. And then Attorney General Ashley Moody tried to stop the will of the voters by objecting to the language within this a ballot initiative, saying that it was vague and unclear. Knowing we have a conservative Supreme Court, there was a lot of uncertainty of what would happen. And I want to also stress, this court basically went on a 6-1 decision in favor of that 15-week abortion ban we just discussed, but then was a 4-3 in supporting this ballot initiative and saying that the language is clear for voters to understand its intent. And so that was the second decision yesterday, earlier this week, was basically saying that we can't continue on in this ballot initiative. The voters will have a say. So despite efforts by Republican Attorney General Ashley Moody, by Governor Ron DeSantis, who appointed these justices, the justices could not find any clear reason for objection. So the voters will get a chance to decide to codify abortion rights in our state constitution. Now, Florida does require a 60% threshold. So this is going to be a bipartisan campaign. In fact, about 35% of those signatures to get on the ballot were Republican registered voters in Florida. So I do feel confident we'll have that bipartisan support in November.
I was just about to ask, I think Florida has among the strictest rules for passing ballot initiatives. 60% is among the highest in the country, is it not?
You're absolutely right. There has been an intentional effort by the state legislature to make the process of amending our state constitution much more difficult. In fact, this session, there was an effort to increase that threshold to 66%. And the process has become much more expensive due to changes made by the legislature. So this is no easy feat. And even the campaign to collect the petitions was a multi-million dollar initiative. Despite help of volunteers, it still costs money. So we are expecting to see more fundraising, as this is a grassroots campaign. It's funded by everyday people and organizations that care about reproductive rights and freedom. In fact, the coalition behind Floridians Protecting Freedom is an amazing collection of nonpartisan grassroots organizations who just really deeply care about this issue and want to give voters the chance to decide.
So what do you think this will mean for turnout in November among Floridians? Because there's another ballot initiative that was allowed to proceed involving the legalization of marijuana. So is this going to help President Biden or is this going to help former President Trump?
It's a really great question. You know, I think what's so unique about both cannabis and abortion is that these are issues that have broad-based support. I mentioned with the abortion initiative that more than 35% of signatures were collected by registered Republicans. And in fact, when the decision came out on Monday, former Republican elected officials also issued out statements of support, and more will come. Cannabis, same thing. Cannabis has such a huge support, especially from conservatives who believe in less government intervention and making decisions independently. And so I actually think you will see dramatic turnout, but I really think it could go either way on the national ticket, which is why it's really important for us to reach that 60% threshold by embracing the diversity of support on abortion and not isolating it to one political party or the other. To that point, I think it's fair to say that we're in this situation because of Republican majority legislature that is out of touch even with their own electorate. The fact that 35% of 1 million supported this petition tells me that the six-week abortion ban that was signed into law by Governor Ron DeSantis is not even popular among their own base. And in fact, several Republicans voted no on the six-week abortion ban on the House floor. Not enough to stop the bill from passing, but definitely an indicator that even some Republicans feel like their legislature and their governor has gone too far.
I was going to ask if the party is split, because just this dual decision by the Florida Supreme Court, does it seem like the court is talking out of both sides of its mouth? Does it seem like one party is talking out of both sides of its mouth?
Yeah, it's a really thoughtful question. When you look at the the opinions, the actual expression of for and against within these two decisions, there's a clear attempt on the ballot issue of decision that justices are saying, you know, they don't support abortion, but they're not being asked to debate abortion on the ballot initiative. They're being asked to clarify if the language is clear, if the voters will understand the amendment's intent when they vote on it. One of the chief justices actually made a point during the oral argument saying, look, you know, I'm not being asked if this is a wolf. I'm being asked if this is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And so if it's a wolf dressed as a wolf, there's nothing I can do to stop it. And so they were basically virtue signaling to their conservative supporters that they don't support abortion access, but there's no constitutional reason to stop this language from going before the voters. And I would also argue that the U.S. Supreme Court has said that abortion should be a state's decision. And if they truly believe that, based as conservative justices for the U.S. Supreme Court, I was hoping that in Florida they would echo that sentiment, that these should be state decisions. And indeed, though it was a tight outcome of 4-3, we were successful in allowing abortion to get to the ballot this November.
Anna, as we talk about abortion access, something that comes up consistently among my sources is that all the focus on abortion is limiting the conversations we're having around other aspects of reproductive health, including contraception. And you tweeted something about minors accessing contraception that I think is kind of important. Can you explain what we're not talking about there?
Oh, absolutely. So in one of the opinion on the 15-week abortion ban, one of the justices also insinuated that the issue of parental consent is one that the court should continue to explore. And this is a direct reference to a pending Supreme Court case we have in Florida regarding a minor's access to abortion through a process called judicial bypass. Basically, what takes place in Florida and states across America is that if a minor wishes to access an abortion and doesn't have the ability to seek consent from a parent or guardian, they can typically go before a court and explain to the judge why they need to make this decision. And the judge determines based on maturity if they can access an abortion. It's a pretty subjective process, but nonetheless, the one that we have today across states in America. There is a pending court case with the previous judge basically saying that because there was no adversarial party, i.e. the parent or guardian at the court, that minor doesn't have standing. The minor can't actually ask for a bypass. That statement, that position, could change the process of judicial bypass, potentially eliminating it in Florida and across the country. And it's a direct tie to efforts to require parental consent for contraception in America as well. Several states have already filed legislation working to pass bills that say a minor cannot access reproductive health care services without a parent or guardian permission. And it doesn't just impact birth control, it also impacts STI testing and screening. So there is this concerted effort to not only take away a minor's access to contraception, but that will absolutely extend to going after contraceptive resources for every person, minor and adult. And so we always like to remind folks that these fights might start with abortion, but they don't stop with abortion. While abortion access is being banned across the country, we also see efforts to take away access to contraception. So these fights are serious and they have economic impact. I mean, when we look at the success of women in America, there is such a huge connection to access to contraception, access to family planning, the ability to decide when or when not to parent is key to the economic success of women. So we do not want to go back in time. We have to continuously uplift these concerns and fight these issues on all fronts.
There's a direct correlation to lifetime earnings, the ability to build a life that is financially sustainable. And I think you raised a good point. It starts with abortion, but includes so many other things. And in your specific case, it starts with Florida, but this is something that, would you say, all voters, no matter where they live, should be paying attention to?
100%. I mean, Florida is not only a bellwether, but it's one of the largest states in the union. and incredibly diverse. And so when we are successful in November, it will send a signal to the rest of the country, and I think to politicians at every level of government, not to mess with women and not to take away our rights. I also want to elevate the point you just made around how it starts at abortion, but also impacts other parts of our care. IVF is another example. The decision out of Alabama that would potentially have banned IVF is one of those examples of how the issue might start at abortion, but doesn't stop there.
Well, this will definitely be something to watch. Anna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.